Because God is the creator, we find in Him answers to all our ultimate questions. You notice that that does not say all answers to all questions. It says answers to ultimate questions. God has not given us all answers to everything, has He? But He has given us answers to our ultimate questions. What we need to know, He has revealed.
Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Building mature followers of Jesus Christ.
Well, those of us who are old enough to remember very clearly the events of September 11th, 2001, know what a difficult day that was. And actually, as I was thinking about this, I said, you know, it's hard to believe that it's been long enough since then now that I need to put that little disclaimer in there for people who are old enough to remember those events. But on that day, you know that the radical jihadists who orchestrated that attack, they all had a very clear world view. And their modern descendants, ISIS, also have a very clear world view. And so it would seem world view matters. We are going to discuss matters pertaining to worldview, but also our worldview matters. You know, America is undergoing a great upheaval now in sexual identity politics. And everyone involved in this great clash of ideas has a worldview. Worldview matters. David Letterman recently retired after 33 years of hosting late-night talk shows. But what many people didn't know about him is that he has suffered with anxiety and depression for many years. And he recently said this about his affliction. He said, "It's different than feeling sad. It's different than feeling blue. It's seeing the world with 20/20 vision." Worldview matters. But worldview, though, doesn't just involve national and world politics and events, or even celebrities. It involves people right here in Wonder Lake. As many of you know, I have the privilege of serving as the chaplain for the Wonder Lake Fire Department. And in that capacity, I have seen many things that most people in our community will never see or even know about. And one of the things that I have witnessed repeatedly is the amount of despair in our community, as it is seen in drug overdoses and the prevalence of suicide-related calls. You'd be surprised how often that happens here. And just recently, not far from here, a man took his own life, and he left behind a wife and a young teenage daughter. I said, sadly, these kinds of things happen more often than you might believe. But what many of those calls have in common is confusion, is pain, despair, a sense of hopelessness. Oftentimes, there is a faulty worldview in play. You see, because worldview matters. Everyone has a worldview. Everyone in here has a worldview, whether they realize it or not. And everyone's worldview matters, whether they realize it or not. So what is a worldview? Well, a worldview is the framework. It's the framework of our most basic beliefs. And it shapes our view, our understanding of the world. And it serves then as the basis for our decisions and our actions. Out of that worldview, what we think truth is, what we think the world is, what life is all about, who we are, these ultimate questions and concerns, how we answer those things. Everyone has an answer, even if their answer is, I don't know. They have some view, and it affects how they understand themselves and others and life. It impacts how they make decisions about what is true or what is right and wrong. So a worldview then deals with ultimate concerns, ultimate questions, questions such as, how did we get here? Does life have any purpose? And if it does, what is that purpose? And what's for lunch? Okay, not that last one about lunch. That's not an ultimate question. But I said that, though, for a reason. And that is, sadly, you know, for some folks, that's about as deep as their thinking goes, and that is what life is all about. What's for lunch? So we all have basic beliefs about life, about the world, and they form the basis of our actions. You see, world view matters. Today, then, we're starting a new series on the biblical worldview. And I want to tell you today that the biblical worldview matters. It matters that believers in Jesus Christ have a biblical view of the world, of what is true, of what is right and what is wrong, of what is important. A biblical worldview is essential for the follower of Jesus Christ. But sadly, though, this may surprise some of you, did you know that not all Christians have a biblical worldview? If that surprises you, raise your hand. Okay, no one is brave enough to admit that surprises them, okay? But you know, there are a lot of Christians do not have a biblical worldview. They say, yeah, oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe this is the Word of God. But if you really start pressing them on it, you discover, you know, they don't have a biblical view of the world at all. That their worldview, their understanding of things has been shaped more by the culture than the kerygma, than the Word of God. There was a recent Barna survey. Some of you know Barna. He's a Christian researcher. He surveyed evangelical Christians, ones who say that what they have been born again, they believe the Scriptures is the Word of God. Recent Barna survey then revealed what percentage of evangelical Christians, and I'm not sure exactly how he did this, but this was the result. What percentage of evangelical Christians were identified as having a biblical worldview? That percentage was 8%. And by the way, when we say a biblical worldview, we're not just talking about theoretical concepts in the mind or the head. I think it'd be more than 8% in that case. We're talking about it's not just in here, but it's in here too. It's in the heart. And it is lived out. Not perfectly, but that's the orientation of that life, is to not just believe in the head, but to live out that biblical worldview. As if this book really is true. 8%. Unfortunately, only about half in that same study of evangelical Christian leaders have a biblical worldview. Half? That's troubling, isn't it? And that is in part why we are starting this new sermon series today on the biblical worldview. What is the biblical worldview? Well, we're going to find out in this series, but very briefly, hear this. The biblical worldview is that which conforms to biblical teaching. What the Bible says is true and right. But here's the thing we need to understand. It's not just anybody can have a worldview. The radical jihadists have a worldview. But is that worldview correct or true? I would say no. Because why? It does not conform to reality. You know, a worldview doesn't matter if it doesn't conform to reality, if it's not true. And this is why I think we got into some trouble here with the 8%. Is it's one thing to say you believe it, you think that's true, but do you show it? Do you show that you really believe this word is true? See, the biblical worldview isn't just what the Bible says, it's also acknowledging that it's real, that it's true, that it conforms to reality. This is why the biblical worldview matters. Here's the official introduction. I figured, why reinvent the wheel? Here's the official introduction to this series. Since the dawn of humanity, men and women have asked ultimate questions about origins, meaning, morality, and destiny. A person's worldview, the framework he or she uses to order life and determine answers to these ultimate questions, is critical. And we all have a worldview, whether we are aware of it or not. And as followers of Jesus, it is essential for us to understand the biblical worldview and be prepared to explain and defend it to people who need answers and hope. There are many ways this series could have been approached. As it is, God willing, it's going to see, that's the biblical worldview right there, to say Lord willing and mean it. Lord willing, this series will be 8 messages. But it easily could have been many, many more than that. But in this, I want to focus in on 4 critical concerns and 4 critical questions. 4 critical concerns, 4 critical questions. The first of the critical concerns is this, is origins. You see, a worldview addresses critical concerns of human beings. Not just Christians, all human beings share, by virtue of our humanity, in these questions and ultimate concerns. Origins. Where do we come from? How did we get here? Origins. The second one then is meaning. Meaning what? What is life all about? Does life have any purpose? Are we here for a reason? You know, people, even people who don't believe in God, or ultimately their worldview, which demands that there is no meaning, still want meaning, don't they? I think there's a reason for that. Origins. Where do we come from? Meaning. What is life all about? What is the purpose of life? Morality. How do we determine right and wrong? I think it's part of a larger question, too, about truth. How do we know what is true? How do we know what is right? Is it all just a matter of opinion? Do we just take a poll? And once we reach a critical mass in the polling, okay, 51% now say, this is right, this is morally right. Is it morally right then? Guess what? That's how we tend to do it, don't we? Where do we come from? What is the meaning of life? How do we determine right and wrong? And then finally, destiny. Destiny. What happens next? Are we going anywhere? Is humanity going anywhere? Am I going anywhere? And I'm not talking about lunch after the service here, okay? But again, for some people, that's the extent of their meaning, right? What's for lunch? Destiny. What happens next? What happens when I die? Someone showed me something interesting the other day. Said, you know, Google searches, sometimes when you type in the first couple of words or few words, sometimes it'll pop up little suggestions which show other things, popular things, what people are searching for. Here's an interesting one, and I hope I'm not made a liar of this. I tested it out, and it was true last night. But sometimes go home, or if you have a smartphone, you can do it now. But I ask you not to. Hold off on that just for right now. Do a Google search. What happens when? What happens when? And see what pops up under the suggestions. You know what the number one Google search for what happens when is? What happens when I die? It's a critical concern of people, isn't it? So these are critical concerns. We're also going to ask some critical questions. Critical questions like this. If that's a biblical worldview that addresses those concerns, why should I believe it? How can I know that that's true? Or for that matter, what is truth? As Pilate famously asked. We're going to look at that. Well, here are some questions that we need to answer in response to the biblical worldview to help us to verify the validity, the veracity of the worldview. Does God exist? Now, you probably believe He does, or you wouldn't be here, or maybe you're searching for that answer right now. Is it reasonable? Is it rational to believe in God? You know, if you go on those dreaded comment boards on news stories, right? You see the usual suspects of radical atheists, I would say hateful people on there, of all stripes, by the way. But the hateful people that want to refer, that want to denigrate God or faith in God, and just one of the favorite expressions is what is the invisible sky king. Well, you know what? I agree that God is invisible, and I agree that He is the king, and I agree that He is related to the sky in some way, but He's not just an invisible sky king, is He? He is the sovereign Lord who has been made visible through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the exact image of the invisible God. Does God exist? How do we determine truth? My truth, your truth. Is there any truth in that? To say truth is relative? Isn't it funny who the people who insist that all truth is relative? There's no objective, absolute truth except for that statement right there. Because to say there is no absolute truth is an absolute statement, isn't it? Does God exist? How do we determine truth? Or how about this one? Is the Bible reliable? Should I believe what this says? And if so, why? Why should I believe that? And then another critical one, is the resurrection true? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? Why is that such an important question? Did Jesus rise from the dead? Why is that so important? Well, because Jesus Christ staked His entire identity and ministry on the validity, the veracity of the resurrection. And the Scriptures speak of it. They say, what? If the resurrection isn't true, then what? We're just wasting our time here. We're just preaching lies and myths and make-believe fables. Today, then, we're going to touch on origins. Where do we come from? And when I say touch on it, I mean exactly that. I want you to buckle your seatbelts, because we're going to go kind of fast today. But I want us to consider here this critical question of origins. Where do we come from? As you're buckling your seat, then, after you've done that, I want you to put your thinking caps on. You know, I've asked you to do that from time to time, because as Ravi Zacharias has famously said, let my people think, right? Origins. Where do we come from? As a wise man has well pointed out, we have two basic options. I know there are many variations, many ideas and theories of origins, where everything came from, how life on earth originated, all of that. But ultimately, it boils down to one of two basic options. Basic option number one is this: everything created itself from nothing, by nothing, for no apparent reason. Now, you may think that's silly, but that, I'm telling you, that is what the brilliant skeptic or the brilliant academicians believe. The reputable scientists, and by the way, there are wonderful scientists who, Christians, not Christian Science, that's something else, but Christians who are scientists, okay? But I'm talking about the skeptical, atheistic crowd here, okay? Because there is no God, they say, There is no supernatural, they say. Everything must be explained in purely natural terms. We call this what naturalism means. Everything that exists is physical, material things. And everything that happens is an outworking of physical, material, natural laws. And so then, where did everything come from? Have you ever looked up at the night sky? And by the way, how many of you know the universe is big? I mean, really big. And I'm not going to go into that whole story about just how big the universe is. And by the way, that's the observable universe. Okay? Who knows how much bigger the universe may be? So, where did it all come from? Well, you have to come down to this. If you don't believe in a creator, then you have to believe then that everything created, everything came into existence from nothing, by nothing, for no apparent reason. That is naturalism. We, as followers of Jesus, are often derided by the skeptics because of faith. Faith is a dirty word in their book. The reality is faith, everyone exercises faith. The issue isn't faith. The issue is what you're putting your faith in. Is it reasonable to put your faith in what you put it in? And see, and so one theory of origin says that everything just suddenly popped into existence from nothing, and over billions of years, about 14 billion, evolved into everything that we see today all by itself, for no apparent reason other than to simply survive. That's naturalism. Another one is this: everything was created by something that is infinite and eternal. By the way, science knows and has proven that everything that exists came into existence suddenly from nothing. Now, we know the Bible has said that all along, hasn't it? But they call it what? The Big Bang. That for some summary, for no reason, there was a singularity of everything that exists in some infinitesimally small little dot that suddenly exploded into everything. You want my opinion? I think it takes a whole lot more faith to believe that than to believe that something outside of it made it happen. And that something we know as God. Everything came from nothing, by nothing, for no reason. Or everything was created by someone or something that is infinite and eternal. That is outside of the created order, that has no beginning. See, because you know that even time, it's hard for us to imagine this, even time is part of the creation, the created order. Even science says there was a time when there was no time. We have a hard time wrapping our minds around that, don't we? Today then, biblical worldview matters origins. Where do we come from? What I want us to understand is that because God is the creator, we find in him answers to all of our ultimate questions. I want us to look first at Genesis 1:1. If you're going to start with God as the creator, this is a pretty good text to go to right away, right? In the beginning, and by the way, we're going to go quickly over this today. I want you to go home and speculate and ponder a little more on this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In that wonderful, succinct, brilliant statement, what are we told? We are told when, who, and what. When? In the beginning. In the beginning, who, God, what, created the heavens and the earth. We don't have time. We're not going to go into debates about how old the earth is or the universe is. That's something for another time. The point for us to understand then today, though, is what? Is that God created everything. God created everything from nothing for His glory. That's the biblical worldview. God created everything from nothing for His glory. There's another one in Acts chapter 17. I love this conversation. Here, the Apostle Paul. He's in Athens at the Areopagus. There we go. Areopagus. And he's debating with the philosophers there. So he says, so Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious." Why? Because he had a little time before he spoke. He saw all their statues to various gods, and they had one to an unknown god. You see, they didn't want to offend someone and miss. So they had an unknown god, the statue to the unknown god, and Paul saw that there's an inn, there's an opportunity to talk to him. So he said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring." Isn't that great? Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." We could spend a lot of time on this, but quickly, here's what I want us to take away from that. God is the creator of everything. God is transcendent and independent of the creation. Transcendent, he is above and beyond. He is outside of the creation. He's not a part of it. He transcends it. He is independent of it. He doesn't need it. It needs him. God is the source and sustainer of life. Life comes from God, and he sustains that life as well as creating it. And God is sovereign over the creation. See, this is the biblical worldview of origins. Do you believe this, by the way? And not just, yeah, in your head. I mean, do you really live this out? God calls men and women to seek him. God calls all to repentance, because a day of judgment is coming. And the resurrection is the proof of the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. How'd you get all that? Is that in there? Is it? Is all that in there? You bet. Sure is. Isn't that a wonderful message? I think there's a lesson for us too, how Paul took an opportunity to relate, to build a bridge to people. Well, I would say the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul. One final passage then for today from Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid. Now pay attention, here's the important part. Well, all that was good too, but look at this. For from him and through him and to him are all things. Say that again. What? For from him and through him and to him are what? All things. To him be glory forever. Amen. God is the source of all things from him. God is the agent through whom all things exist through him. And in particular, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to see that in a moment. God is the goal of all that exists and happens in the universe to him. In other words, it's all about God. It's all about his glory. We got a lot of people that go through life thinking that life is all about them. Some of you know those individuals. Some of you live with those individuals. Some of you are those individuals. Right? The guy speaking has been one of those individuals. But it's not about me. And it's not about you. And it's not about anybody else. It's about God. Because God created all things. See, the biblical worldview of origins is not only that God is the source of all things, that he created everything from nothing, but that he did it for what? His glory. You see, that's meaning, too. God's glory. All things serve to bring God glory forever. Just good things, right? Beautiful things. No. All things serve to bring God glory forever. That's the biblical worldview. So what? It's a little bit of a meditation, a lot of things for me to think about. What do you want me to do with this? Well, I want to take us back to where we started here. And again, we said what? Because God is the creator. Everything did not suddenly pop into existence from nothing, for no reason, all by itself. I could say quite a bit more about that. But I'll just ask you to explore that concept yourself. And we will a little later on in the series when we look at this from some different angles. But I'll save you some time. Nothing doesn't create something. Yet that's exactly what we're being told. Something created something. More exactly, someone. Someone created something. That someone we know is God, the God of the Bible. How do we get from there? Well, there's a series of steps you take, okay? But because God is the creator, we find in him then answers to all of our ultimate questions, all of our ultimate concerns. And we said, what were those critical concerns? Oh, by the way, I take us back here again. Those answers to those critical questions, because God, there we are, because God is the creator, we find in him answers to all our ultimate questions. You notice that that does not say all answers to all questions. It says answers to ultimate questions. God has not given us all answers to everything, has he? But he has given us answers to our ultimate questions. What we need to know, he has revealed. What are those critical concerns again? Origins, meaning, morality. Origins, God is our origin. Meaning, it's all about God, knowing God. There is a purpose in life. It's God's glory. He calls us to know him, to repentance, because judgment is coming. Morality. How do we know what's right and wrong? Do we take a poll? Do we see what the Supreme Court says? God is truth. Truth is a person. Right and wrong is a person. By the way, things aren't right because God, simply because God says it's right. Now, Dwayne, don't misquote me here on this. If God says it's right, it is right. But what I'm saying is God doesn't, wait a minute, God doesn't ponder what's right or wrong and then have some other objective standard outside of himself that he recognizes and said, yep, I guess that's right. No, see, what is right is God. He is the standard. See, because if there was something above God, God truly would not be infinite and transcendent, would he? He is truth. He is right. And so what he says is truth. What he says is right. So the biblical worldview says we get truth and we get right and wrong from what? From what God says about it. Now, does that mean that God has said everything about everything and that there aren't some difficult issues for us to work through? No, there are some difficult things for us to work through. But our standard is God, what God says, right? And finally, destiny. Is there life after death? Is life going somewhere? Yes, that destiny is ultimately, the ultimate glory of God is where things are going. But specifically in his eternal plan of redemption, we're going to what? A new heaven and earth, in which the redeemed are forever in his presence, blessed. And I can't wait to see. I have a feeling there's a little more to the story after that. That the story's not going to just end right there. So what? Let me ask you, what do you believe? How did you get here? What do you believe? I mean, what do you really believe about that? And when I say, how did you get here? Don't say your car out in the parking lot, all right? How did you get here? What do you really believe about that? And what does that mean? You say, well, God's our creator. What does that mean? What are you living for? Why are you here then? And I don't mean this sanctuary. How do you know what is right? Do we take a poll? Do we check on Yahoo News? For what is right? And where are you going? Where are you going? See, these are ultimate concerns, ultimate questions to ask. And the biblical worldview is not just a knowledge of these things in our minds. It is living as if it really is true. Because, and we ought to, because it is really true. Well, how do you know that? Stay tuned. Stay tuned. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that there is a reason for us, for our lives. That ultimate reason is your glory, Lord Jesus. And you've made us to know you. You've provided the way of redemption, forgiveness of our sin, our rebellion against you. You call us to turn from that and to walk in faith with you, because you are truth, Lord. You are right and wrong. You are the measure. And it's not about me. It's not about us. It's about you. It's about your glory. And Lord, we want to live lives that seek to honor you first, that seek to see you glorified in us and through us. And we're thankful for the hope of eternal life that we have in Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.